Time to bring in the ace, the Monday morning quarterback, we like to call him here. It's a quick spot with us on Mondays. He spends a lot of time with us on Friday analyzing the game, going into the game, and now his reaction after the game. Brian Westbrook is brought to us by Visit Philly. If you're headed to the city for the game, book the Visit Philly overnight hotel package and enjoy over $200 worth of free perks, including free parking. Find out more at visitphilly.com. Mr. Westbrook, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you?
Fantastic. All right, let's talk about yesterday. They get a win that we thought they would get. It wasn't fancy. The most important thing is the quarterback looked good, and he survived the game, and we're all good now. He's back.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's certainly good to get your MVP candidate quarterback, Carson Wentz, back. I think he lifted the team just enough to get the win. You know, a lot of things are correct. You know, I went back and watched the film again this morning. A lot of things are correct. From the offensive line to some deals with the wide receivers, you know, Carson Wentz did not have a flawless game, but there are some things to correct on the offensive side of the ball that we certainly could talk about.
It was a solid B game, I thought. And I thought they coached the game up really well, especially at the start. A lot of tight end targets, short patterns, 13 personnel, up-tempo. I thought it was really smart to get him involved. He sailed a couple of balls, but it was a methodical drive down the field.
You know, the most important thing, and I have to give Doug Peterson credit, and I think he's done a great job of bringing Carson Wentz along throughout his entire career being there. But I think it was a stroke of genius to start in empty. And I know they went up tempo, which really, for my view, just keeps the same defense on the field. So it keeps those defensive players on the field, whether they're tired or not, you know, really it doesn't matter. But to me, going empty backfield. So now if you're the defense, there's nobody in the backfield. And if you're Carson Wentz, you're basically saying, if you're going to blitz me, I have to be able to see it coming. So if there's five guys coming, okay, that's great. I have five offensive linemen to block. If there's a sixth guy, you have to show that a little bit earlier. So Carson Wentz, a guy that's coming off an injury, not moving around as well as he normally does, he'll have a chance to navigate that and say, okay, I need to get the ball out early because I have a guy coming at me that I cannot block. To me, that was a stroke of genius by Doug Peterson.
Brian, we're having a hard time hearing you on the phone. I don't know what's going on with the phone, but are we okay there, Ty, with the phone?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
Mike?
That's a lot better. Yeah, it's okay. A lot better. It was a little tinny. Let me ask about the running back rotation, and Wendell Smallwood came to play yesterday. It was something that I didn't expect. What did you think of his performance?
I certainly didn't expect it either. I've been a Wendell Smallwood fan for a long time. I just always felt like there was something missing. There was something that he wasn't doing very well. And yesterday he showed all those same things, speed, explosion, quickness, the ability to break tackles, to make plays down the field. All those things are the good side of Wendell Smallwood. There has to be something else that I'm missing that's not allowed him to really have an impact on this Eagles team. But yesterday, Wendell Smallwood, Corey Clement did a very good job running the ball.
Yeah, Brian, for some reason we're having a difficult connection on here. So should we call him back, Tyron? We'll put you on hold, Brian, and we'll try to clear you up a little bit because you know, I want the people to hear what he has to say about this game. We'll go to Mark in Upper Dublin. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Mike, first time, long time.
What's up, Mark?
Listen, I'm a big fan of the show. I listen every day.
Great. I appreciate that. Thank you, buddy.
Big fan of yours. However.
I knew it was however.
However, I don't care that you don't like Ty.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is that sometimes you make these predictions, and throughout time, you tweak them. So first it was, you know, Tiger would never win again.
Yeah, and then I changed that rather quickly. I changed
Tiger
that.
Tiger wouldn't win anything significant, like John mm-hmm. Deere. He would win John Deere.
Yeah.
Or something like thereof.
Uh-huh.
Now he'll never win a major. I just, you know, honor your predictions. You know, if you say, you know, he's never going to win again, say he's never going to win again, and then you were wrong.
Well, I learned to go with the flow, and I changed it to that he's not going to win a major. Now, I don't understand what your beef about that is.
Well, no,
it's my opinion. It's my opinion. Why does my opinion get you all cranked up? Why?
Mike, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, but why? That's what I'm asking you. Why does it get you all cranked up? Like, what do you care?
Oh, what I had just to say. You to honor your prediction.
I did honor my prediction. He hasn't won a major.
Yeah, but you also said he would never win again.
I didn't say that. I did not say that. I may have said that for like 10 seconds.
And then I said,
it's possible he could win another tournament that's a lesser tournament. Now, this is a good competition, but let's face it, it was a little easier to play in this tournament with only 29 other golfers.
The top 29.
But still, you still have to make the cut in another tournament that's bigger in numbers. You still have to, there's a little more pressure there.
I have two, but I want to make one more point.
All right, go ahead.
Is this not a top 10 tournament to win?
It's a good tournament, yeah.
Listen, God bless
Tiger Woods. What do you want me to say? The world is right because Tiger won a freaking tournament. All right, is that what you want me to say? All right, we got Brian back with us. Brian.
Show Tiger Woods some love. Everybody wants you to show him some love.
Listen, the world is right again. The sun is in the perfect axis. You know, what can I tell you? The planets are in alignment.
Tiger Woods
won a tournament. God, let's rejoice from here to the top of the mountain.
let's get back to the football. What were we talking about?
Well, here it is.
I don't know if you guys heard the first part, but I thought it was really, really important that Doug, and stop me if you heard this part, but I thought it was important that Doug went empty. I mean, that's going to allow Carson Wentz to see the defense coming at him. Did you hear that part? Yeah, we were hearing you talk about it. So the running backs, you talk about Wendell Smallwood, always thought he was a good running back. I just thought that it was something that he was missing as far as part of the game, and that's why he wasn't playing. But yesterday, Wendell Smallwood, as well as Corey Clement, did a very good job of running the football and really controlling the pace of their entire game.
All right, so defensively, I have some. On one hand, they really were tough on third down, and they were really impossible to move in the red zone. The Colts didn't have very much success, but I they're just not getting to the quarterback like they used to get to it. Brandon Graham and Chris Long have not gotten there. What do you make of this the line play?
Well, I think Chris Long got a little pressure off the edge. I also think that Derek Barnett, 1.5 sacks, did a good job of coming off the edge. He's also added another move to his repertoire. When he came out of college, he was a strict speed off the edge guy. He's done a better job of adding some inside things. You know, I think you're absolutely right. They're not getting the same amount of pressure as they did and had the impact on the quarterback as they did last year. And that may come over time. You remember last year, there was a rotation of different guys coming in and out. Vinnie Curry, which was a guy that no one really liked as far as didn't want to pay him, but he was a guy that got pressure. That pressure didn't really amount into sacks, but he pressured the quarterback, made a move, and a lot of time that movement made him fall right into the arms of Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and things like that. So I think it's going to take some time, and if I'm Jim Schwartz, I would not be afraid to blitz. I would not be afraid to send an extra guy to try to have more impact on the quarterback.
Yeah, he's not doing that. I don't think he's ever gonna flex on that. But I agree with you. I think occasionally they'll throw something at him. Now, they had some really long drives, 11, 12, 13, yes. 17 play drive at the end, up 11 minutes. I think it was good, but were you like me? I was kind of screaming for the weapons to come back. They don't really have the chunk weapons in that lineup right now.
Well, the truth is this, Mike. I mean, it's just hard. I mean, it's not going to be every game that you're going to go against teams with a defense like the Colts that's going to play zone. They played a lot of zone. That's why you can see the tight ends be involved, especially in the seams and things like that. That really plays into the hands of Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, in this offense. And again, just to your point, there's not a lot of teams that you're going to be able to go 11, 12, 13 play drives. It just doesn't happen across the league very much. That's why you need those explosive plays. That's why you need those chunk plays. And right now, when you're talking about our receivers combined catching less than 5 passes, that's almost unacceptable. And so we have to find a way to get some chunk plays. I think as Carson gets more comfortable in the pocket with his play, that we'll get some of those things. But our wide receivers have to find a way to get open.
Yeah, 17 targets to the tight ends and a lot of 3 tight end sets where they flanked a guy out. There was the one play that scared me with Wentz when he scrambled to the left and he dove head first. I don't like to see that because you're still taking a pounding on that knee.
as much as I've preached, listen, Carson, just lay back and take it easy. You know, and Doug kind of said it, but I didn't really believe it. He kind of said that, listen, we're going to allow Carson to be Carson and not to play cautious. And it's absolutely true. Carson Wentz went out there and played like Carson did before he was injured. I don't think that's a great long-term idea for our offense, but that's just the way he plays. I don't think our offensive line did a very good job of protecting them yesterday. So that kind of that type of play was really needed for Carson to get going. But I think long term, Carson has to be very smart with what he does as far as scrambling with the football.
All right, now let me take it to the backup quarterback here in the conversation. Look, because I want to get your opinion on this. 49ers lost their franchise QB yesterday. If they called and offered you a three, would you trade Nick Foles for a three? Or would it have to be higher than that?
I'm going to say something, Mike, and I don't know that it's going to be very popular in Philadelphia.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to say this, and I really mean it. I think we have to stop and think about what's going on here. There's just not a lot of people in the NFL, team-wise, that want Nick Foles. And I know we always have said we have the best backup quarterback because he won the Super Bowl, helped with a lot of different things and circumstances to help him win. But when I talk to the other teams around the league and guys I know around the league, there's not a bunch of guys clamoring for Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that from the beginning. So with that being said, if someone calls and said, we'll give you a three, then in my mind,
gone.
He would be gone. Listen, I like Nick Foles, and I love what he's done for our city. But again, we have to be realistic as to what he really is. And the more that he plays, like these first couple games of the year, that shows that he's maybe not that guy that we all saw win the Super Bowl last year.
No, I get that. I'm just thinking that the 49ers, they can't do any better than Nick Foles at this point, because their backup is a young, inexperienced guy. So I would think that if they're interested in proceeding, that they couldn't do any better than Nick Foles. So they may be interested in Nick.
Well, think about this. If you're the 49ers, let's say that the number for the Eagles was a third-round pick. If you're the 49ers, you weren't going to win this year anyway. You lost your running back in Jerick McKinnon. You lost him. You lost your quarterback. So you're probably not going to win this year. Why would you give up a third-round pick when you know your quarterback will be back healthy, similar to Carson Wentz, next year? You just wouldn't give up that pick. It wouldn't make any sense.
I get you. C.J. Beathard.
He's the backup.
And he actually played against the Eagles in a game, and he stinks.
No, he's not very good.
He's a Wisconsin. There's no quarterback that comes from Wisconsin other than Russell Wilson, who actually spent more time with NC State than Wisconsin, that has been a success in the league, because all they do is run the football.
Very true. That's what they do. They pound the rock.
So two quick things before I let you go here. Number one is, I got to get your opinion on the flags being thrown to protect the quarterback. Clay Matthews got another flag there. And all these quarterbacks are actually coming out and saying, yeah, it's even gotten too much. I don't think so, because I think quarterbacks are golden.
I think you're absolutely nuts. when I hear the rule book basically saying, hey, don't fall on him with all of your weight.
Uh-huh.
I mean, come on now. I'm with the protected guys and all that other stuff.
He pile drove them. Come on, man.
Listen, Mike, do you understand how many times running back, wide receiver, every other, you mean to tell me the one position that you're going to protect is that one?
Yes, because the running back, when you were running back, you got low, you flexed your muscles to embrace for the hit. Quarterbacks are getting just pounded. They're open to get pounded.
That's the position that you play. And if you tell me there's a penalty because I'm putting all my weight on you, do you know how many? Listen, you're getting tackled by D linemen the same way the running backs and other position players are getting tackled 20, 30 times a game with all of their weight. Now, just imagine being underneath the pile with 2, 3, 4 defensive linemen on there. You got to be crazy. That's 1,000 pounds.
You're just jealous because you're a running back. You always wanted to be a quarterback. But you weren't tall enough to be a quarterback. That's what it is. I see that.
It's a height joke.
I see it. You always wanted to be the QB. Couldn't be it.
I do not agree with that by a long. I can't believe that they continue to even think that that's okay. And the same thing for Matthews. It's the same play. I mean, how do you tackle the quarterback without putting all your weight on him? How does that happen?
Well, you can hit him to the side.
Oh,
you don't have to pile drive him. You're doing that from machismo factor. You're drilling him from machismo factor. Take the machismo out of it. Just tackle the guy.
That's what he's doing. He's just tackling him.
You come from the side. You don't have to go straight up.
Mike, if I run straight into you and we both fall over, I'm going to fall right on top of you. That's just called nature.
I'm pro quarterback.
It's gravity. Yeah. It's gravity.
I'm pro quarterback. Protect them. Protect them at all costs.
That's what the NFL is too.
What'd you think of Tiger winning?
Tiger is back. I am so happy. The only person I could think about yesterday is you pulling out your hair, punching yourself in the face.
I didn't see one swing of his club yesterday.
I wasn't even interested. I'll say this. I am a Tiger fan, obviously, but I'm just glad to see that he had the ability to come back and win. I heard you talk about it.
I am too, Brian. It was going to ruin my life if he did.
Time out, Mike. But you talk about how bad your back is and things like that. Uh-huh. To have all those spinal fusion surgeries and all the ACL, I mean, it's a lot to come back from those types of injuries.
Yeah.
And to play the same game and win.
Yeah, I don't have $60 million to have a money thing.
To bring the money in.
To somebody come to my house every day and help me out.
That's part of the game.
Yeah, I get you. Brian,
you don't want them to protect the quarterback, but you also don't want people to cheer for Tiger.
No, people can cheer for him. Listen, I know I'm in the minority. I just want my own little piece here. Now people are starting to come to my side, not liking the guy. I don't like that.
Yeah,
I want to stay the lone wolf here with my Tiger dislike.
Mike, before I go, I want to say rest in peace to Tommy McDonald, man.
Yes.
I've heard an awful lot of him from Ray Dininger when we worked together at Comcast, but I've also met Tommy, and he was a really, really good man to me when I met him. Talked for a long time. Certainly.
Very enthusiastic man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know his son, Chris,
in his face,
well.
Yelling all the time. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Anytime he was around.
All right, good mention. All right, man, we'll talk to you Friday. Because I'm going to ask you about Penn State OSU on Friday, too.
Yeah, they have no chance.
All right, man, we'll talk to you. There he is, Brian Westbrook.